Praise God. Are you ready for the Word of God here today? Yes. Amen. Turn with me over there to 1 John. Go in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. Also, while you're opening up, real quick, why don't you turn over to Psalm chapter 11 as you're going there. Find these two openings. We're going to get over there to them here in just a few moments. But today, I'm going to call this message, What is Happening in America? What is happening in America? And that title of this sermon is posed in a question, because it is a question that I have received many, many times this week in light of the events that took place in the middle of this past week. As many of you know, and many of you are aware, a young man by the name of Charlie Kirk was assassinated on a college campus in Utah this past Wednesday. Of course, he was a political activist, but also he was a Christian speaker. He was a Christian man who much of his message centered around Jesus Christ. He was very eloquent. He was very well spoken. He was very articulate. He had a dynamic influence with young people, especially his movement there, Turning Point USA, was really gaining a tremendous following, just momentum that really carried the gospel, and conservative and traditional values all throughout college and universities all throughout our land. He was senselessly struck down. He was cut down by an assassin, and he was assassinated for his political views, but he was also assassinated for his religious beliefs. Do not think that it was only a political hit. It was also a strike and an attack against faith, against traditional values, against the Word of God. And so this nation, lost a treasure when we lost this bright and brilliant young man. His logic, his reason was just absolutely undeniable. It was impeccable. He was somebody who gave himself to spirited debate. He, of course, was partaking of our First Amendment. He was sharing his views. He was sharing his beliefs at a college university. I never saw him get personally insulting. I never saw him, go on the attack or something like that. But he was cut down by an assassin's bullet this past Wednesday. And, of course, this event has shaken our nation. It has shaken the body of Christ more than I would have ever imagined. Of course, when I heard the news, I was saddened. I was stirred. And I tell you what, there is a stirring. There's an awakening that is happening on the backside of this tragedy. But I'll tell you what, it's bigger than I could have possibly thought. It's bigger than we could have imagined. Our nation and the body of Christ is being shaken. And all this week, I received a lot of phone calls. I received a ton of text messages, emails. In almost every one of these communications, they had one thing in common, that nearly every single person that reached out to me asked some sort of question like this: what is happening in America? What is wrong with our country? What is happening that, a young man like this can be cut down and assassinated for his political and religious views? What's happening in this nation that crime is on the rise and their lawlessness just seems to be taking over our land? What is happening with our country? And I think, many Christians are starting to realize, honestly, what we've been prophesying around here for years, months and years, that there is a shaking going on in this world. There is a shaking taking place in this nation. And if this man who was a media figure, a political activist, a Christian speaker, an author, if he could be cut down and it can create, this level of outpouring and this level of response, I'll tell you what, something is going on in our nation, and I believe Christians are starting to realize it. Some are waking up. Some are deciding that they've got to get back to serving God again. They got to get back to faithfulness. But it is taking place, and so I was asked that question: what's happening in America? What's wrong with our country? What's going on here? Something just seems to be up. Well, today I'm going to directly answer that question with the Word of God. And I'm going to say things that are uncomfortable. I'm going to say things that people don't like to hear. I'm not trying to be controversial, but I'm going to say some things out of the Word of God that could really turn people the wrong way. I'm not trying to please somebody. I'm not trying to put anybody down. I'm just here to tell you the truth. I don't belong to any political party. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I don't belong. I don't toe a party line. I am a Christian, and I'm a minister of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. My goal is to tell the truth no matter how uncomfortable it is, no matter how inconvenient it is, no matter how many people like to hear it or don't like to hear it. We are to pursue truth at all costs, regardless if we like it or not. And so just a heads up, there's going to be things said here today. You're going to smile, and some of you will be encouraged. There's going to be others that will be tempted to be offended. But just buckle your seatbelt, because we're going to get into the Word of God here, not to be controversial and certainly not to be political. Also not to lay blame on one individual or multiple individuals. We're not laying blame upon a political party. We're not going after, you know, all that personally. But we are going to deal with the truth. Praise the Lord. Go to Psalm 11:1. This was a verse that my wife reminded me of this morning. And this is a verse that I've had for years in a little index card booklet that I have that I fill with scriptures, and I meditate on these verses. And my wife reminded me of this verse this morning. And I want to share it because before we start answering the question of what's going on in our nation, I want to give you just a couple of quick words of warning, you know, so that believers don't fall into the traps that are out there right now that are going on. Folks, unfortunately, I am hearing a lot of Christian influencers on social media, even some Christian leaders, conservative commentators this week. Of course, they start crying out for vengeance. All of a sudden, you know, they cry out for, you know, retaliation. I've even heard some people with huge followings on social media saying that it's time for Christians and conservatives to get violent and start fighting back with force. I'm here to tell you that is not the Spirit of God. Be careful of the trap of vengeance, because if you fall into vengeance, I'll tell you what, you will not be able to win people to Christ if you do. We are to cry out for justice. Amen. Justice and vengeance are two different things. The Bible says, even in the book of Romans, it says, vengeance belongs to the Lord. It is God's place to take vengeance upon those that kill innocent life. God will have his day. There will be a judgment day. There will be reckoning. The church isn't to cry out for judgment. The church is to cry out for justice. And we know and understand that anyone that was involved in this criminal murder this past week, whether they pulled the trigger, whether they plotted or schemed or helped develop that plan, anyone involved should be brought to a swift and a harsh justice. However, there's cries out there amongst the Christian community, political commentators, conservative commentators, people of traditional values that are crying out for Christians and traditional thinking people to separate themselves from friends and loved ones who don't think like them, to separate themselves from liberal thinking people, or to, you know, cut all ties and destroy relationships and all that as an act of emotional vengeance against people. Folks, I'm here to tell you, you do not react that way. That is not the heart of a Christian. I'll tell you what, if you are separated from people that need Jesus Christ, you might be the only Jesus they see. You might be the only witness they have. And I'll tell you what, if we just start demonizing everybody that thinks differently than us, right, we will separate ourselves from the harvest of souls. God needs you to be the light of the world. God says that it is the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. People need to see you being merciful. They need to see you walking in the love of God. They need to see you, you know, loving on them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Folks, this is not the first time when somebody was murdered and there was a cry for political vengeance. When Jesus Christ himself was crucified, he was even risen again. And in Acts chapter 1, the first thing that the apostles thought about, they said, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? Meaning, will you at this time finally deliver us from Roman rule? They wanted a political revolution, and Jesus did not give them a political revolution. Jesus gave them an assignment to get full of his Spirit. He gave them an assignment to get full of God. Folks, if you're wondering what you can do to make a difference in this world, go to church. Amen. Get full of God. Get taught the word. Amen. Value what God values. Show people around you that you are sold out to all the things that God loves and wants you to do in this life. That's going to make the biggest difference. But we got to give you a word of warning. Number one, don't fall into vengeance. Cry out for justice. Here's another trap that you can't fall into, and you got to be warned of this. Don't fall into the trap of intimidation and fear. I've seen some believers that have said, man, all these, you know, violent people out there, you know, I'm concerned that somebody's going to realize that I'm a Christian, they're going to realize that I'm a believer, and they might try to harm me, they might try to hurt my family. You cannot think that way. We cannot be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation, unto all that will believe. Amen. And we can't be intimidated, by fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. I started saying this last night. When the world hates what I love, when the world hates the Savior that I love, when the world hates the Bible that I love, when the world hates the church that I love, I'm going to love it even more. I'm going to love it even more. When I see the world wanting to try to tear away this precious truth, I'm going to hold on to it even tighter. They're not going to pry it away from me. Amen. Go over to Psalm 11. I wasn't planning on going here today, but we'll take a quick look at this, and then we're going to start answering the question, what's happening in America? Look at Psalm 11. It really just says it straight out. Actually, can you bring this up in the Amplified Bible on our screen? Let's bring it up in a modern translation so we can understand it a little bit better. In Psalm 11 and verse 1, it says, "In the Lord I take refuge and put my trust. How can you say to me, 'Flee like a bird to your mountain?'" Amen. See, people who know God don't run from truth. They don't hide when things feel threatening. Amen. Look what it says. This passage is something I've meditated on because as a pastor, I have felt like this before, dealing with the attacks and the insults and things. And now we see a young man who is just 31 years old who literally faced what this next verse is talking about. Look at verse 2. It says this. If you could go to the next verse, please. I'm going to read off the screen. It says, "For see, the wicked are bending the bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string that they will furtively in darkness shoot at the upright in heart." Folks, we have to know and understand. You wonder why things happen like what happened this past week. Because there are evil people that are being inspired by a real devil and by real demons. And there are people out there that want to try to steal away the voices of the gospel and the influence that they're having. Folks, every single one of us, we need to be praying for our leadership. We need to be praying for our pastors. We need to be praying for national leadership. Folks, please know that when somebody is a voice in the gospel, that they have a target on their back. You say, "Well, God will just protect them. I don't need to get involved." Yes, you are needed. Your prayers are required. You know, you should be praying for your spiritual leadership. Amen. In verse 3, if you could just follow me here, it says, "If the foundations are destroyed, what can the unyielding righteous do? Or what has he, the righteous one, wrought or accomplished?" Verse 4, and this is what he's accomplished. "The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids test and prove the children of men." Where is God? He's in his house. Amen. Now look at the rest of this passage. Look at verse 5. Go to verse 6. It says, "The Lord tests and proves." Go back, I'm sorry, verse 5. "The Lord tests and proves the unyieldingly righteous, but his soul abhors the wicked and him who loves violence." See, God is going to deal with this. And we've got to do our part to allow God to do his part. Look at verse 6. Praise the Lord. Upon the wicked, he will rain quick burning coals or snares. Fire, brimstone, and a dreadful scorching wind shall be the portion of their cup. What is God talking about? He's going to deal with the wicked. He's going to deal with those that take innocent life. He's going to deal with it. Verse 7. For the righteous, it says, for the Lord is rigidly righteous. He loves righteous deeds. The upright shall behold his face, or he beholds the upright. Folks, in verse 4, it says the Lord is in his temple. The Lord is sitting on his throne. He is in the house of God. Folks, the implication in this passage is if God's people will get back to serving and worshiping in the house of God, it will allow him to then deal with the wicked. So many times we think that the answer is for the Christian church to become more political, that the church could just go out and just, you know, try to do everything through, you know, the political, you know, system. Folks, I'm here to tell you, first and foremost, the people of God got to get back to the house of the Lord. They got to get back in the temple. They got to worship God, put him first, and then we trust him to deal with the wicked elements in our nation. God is going to deal with them, but as long as we're found in the house of God. Folks, the church in America, unfortunately, has grown dim because the church has gotten away from the house of the Lord. We now just find church is just some voluntary thing. We see something that, you know, we think it's something that just doesn't matter. We are distracted by a million different reasons and excuses. I'm here to tell you, get into the house of God. And you're here today. Praise the Lord. Now, let's start answering the question, what's wrong with America? Go to 1 John chapter 4. There is wickedness that is waiting to try to hurt and to harm those that speak the truth of the gospel. The question is, are we as the church going to pray for them? Amen. Are you praying for your pastor? Are you praying for your church? Are you praying for national spiritual leadership? Are you praying for those that bring the gospel of Christ to the people? Amen. Praise the Lord. So let's talk about what's happening in America. Today I'm going to give you three things that is happening in America. Again, I'm not here to lay blame on anybody. I'm not here to get personal. But I'm here as a minister of the Word of God to pull back the veil so we can see what is really going on. And today, some people might say, well, this sounds weird or this sounds different. But you're going to see it's right out of the Word of God. 1 John chapter 4. And let's start right there in verse 1. 1 John 4. I'm going to try not to meddle too much in this passage because the teacher in me really likes to hang out in passages just like this. It says this, beloved, believe not. Now notice this, is written to Christians. Do we have any Christians here today? Yes. Amen, it's written to you. It says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Isn't that interesting? Folks, here's what the Bible's trying to get us to realize. There's a spiritual realm. Yes. There's a spiritual realm. And notice it says this, beloved, believe not every spirit that speaks to you. Right. Giving us the indication that there's more than one spirit, you know, seeking to put ideas and thoughts into our mind or to speak to us. These spirits can come to us in forms of thoughts. These spirits can come to us in the form of false prophets or people that are preaching false doctrine. It could come through the influence of somebody who's under control of demonic spirits. And the Bible says you have to test the spirits to see whether what they're saying is from God. The Bible tells us you better test those thoughts that enter your mind to decide whether they're from God or not. The scripture says holding every thought captive or bringing into captivity every thought to the knowledge of Christ. Folks, you can't trust everything that enters your brain. You've got to test these things. You better know the Word of God. Why do we read the Bible? Just does it make God love us anymore? No. But it gets us renewed in our minds so we will know when the wrong thing is talking to us. Amen. Test the spirits, whether they are of God, because there's many false preachers and false prophets that have gone out into the world. It says this, hereby we know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. In those days, there was a group of people called the Gnostics who believed that Jesus only came in spirit only, that Jesus did not physically come in the flesh. But the scripture makes it clear, Jesus came physically in the flesh. Not only did Jesus come physically in the flesh, but it was that flesh that was nailed to the cross for you and I. It was that blood that was shed that was given to us for the remission of our sins. Folks, this scripture is telling us how we test, you know, how we see what a person is truly about. Do they, you know, live their life dedicated to the idea that Christ died and rose again? We got to know that, right? And so look at this, verse 3. It says, "And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of," what? "The spirit of Antichrist." Oh boy, now we're taking a deep walk here. All right. "This is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come. And even now," everyone say now, "already it is in the world." All right. And this is what I need you to know. Is it okay if we just study the Bible for a few minutes here? Notice the scripture tells us there is a spirit of Antichrist. All right. A spirit of Antichrist. Now, that doesn't mean the Antichrist himself has to be on the scene or has to come to power yet. But even 2,000 years ago when this verse was written, the scripture says that the spirit of Antichrist is already at work in the world, even if the Antichrist himself hasn't come to power yet. Does everybody understand that and see that? I have to establish that truth in you before I go any further. And so there is a spirit of Antichrist, and we're going to look at what that spirit of Antichrist is about and what it will do. Let's just go right to the point. Go over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Go over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Say, "Pastor, what are you talking about?" I'm going to show you what's happening in this country spiritually and why things like political assassinations, things like rising crime, things like riots, things like our cities being burnt to the ground, things like lawlessness. Why are these things all of a sudden, there's just a tidal wave of these kinds of problems in our country? Obviously, what happened to Charlie Kirk is just one example of many of what is taking place. Now, you say, "Well, Pastor, I came to church here today just to, you know, hopefully you just make me feel better and just say something sweet so we can, you know, get a smile back on our face." Well, folks, I'm here to tell the truth. Amen. And I hope that it encourages you. And the good news about the truth, it's not always easy to hear. It's not always fun to hear. But the truth will make you free. It'll make you free from deception, free from lies. Amen. Free from fear. Glory to God. We need the truth. So there is a spirit of Antichrist. It is already at work in the world. Let me show you another verse in the New Testament that talks about the same thing. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1. Here we go. It says this, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and," everyone say, "and," "our gathering together unto him." This verse is talking about two different events, if you really want to get technical about it. The coming of the Lord and the gathering of ourselves to him are two separate events. Anyway, we won't need to digress into that. Verse 2, it says, that you not be soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. See, what was going on in the Thessalonian church is that those believers had been told by false preachers that the day of the Lord had already occurred. They believed that the coming of the Lord had already happened. They believed that the day of the Lord had happened, and they missed it. You could see that that would trouble you. You know, if the day of the Lord happens and you missed it, yeah, right? You don't want to miss that day, right? And so they're very troubled, and now he's writing to explain, listen, no, it has not happened yet. And he's going to give us signs or markers that indicate when that day will happen. Look at verse 3. Here's our answer. Are you ready? It says, let no man deceive you by any means. Do you notice all this warning about deception? Don't be deceived, right? Don't fall into the trap. Don't be deceived by crying out for vengeance, you know. Don't be deceived by falling into fear because of something that happened in the world. He says, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day of the Lord shall not come except there come a falling away first, and, everyone say, and, that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Who is the man of sin that will be revealed in the end days? Who is that? The Antichrist. All right, so now we see more passages talking about this prediction of that there will come an Antichrist figure who will take control of nations at first, and then eventually he'll take control of a world government and so on. And we're not here to go into all that. But you need to see that the Antichrist is predicted to come, right, before the day of the Lord. And so we need to know and understand that. But remember, the spirit of Antichrist is already what? At work in the world. Everybody answer me this question. Based on what you just learned in the Bible, is the spirit of Antichrist alive and well in our world right now? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And if that, you know, term spirit of Antichrist makes you feel uncomfortable, well, that's a Bible term. And you need to be taught some doctrine. You need to be taught what the Bible says and the theology of the Word of God. Amen. But notice this. It says the day of the Lord will not come except there come a falling away first. What is the falling away? Can you bring it up in the Amplified for us? You've heard me speak on this many times. It's a prediction. And here's my personal belief. This falling away is taking place in our nation right now. And the good news is that there seems to be some shaking and awakening that is taking place for people to make sure they don't fall away. It says, let no one deceive or beguile you in any way, for that day of the Lord will not come except the apostasy comes first. Unless the predicted great falling away of those who have professed to be Christians has come. The scripture tells us in many places that there's coming a predicted falling away or an apostate church of people that will profess to be Christians, but they will really truly fall away from what Christ teaches. Folks, that is happening in our nation. You've heard the statistics. In the last 20 years, our nation has lost 66% of all churchgoers. Don't go to church anymore. COVID cut down 30 to 40% of our nation's churches. There is a falling away. It is taking place right now. We don't know how long it's going to take. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 4:1, it says the Holy Spirit speaks urgently that in latter days many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. That's what the Bible warns. And you got to decide right here and right now, I'm not going to be part of that apostasy. I'm not going to be part of a watered-down, lukewarm, you know, Christianity. I want to be on fire for God. I want to be faithful to Him. Amen. I want to be sold out. Glory to God. And so the day of the Lord is only going to come after a great apostasy or a great predicted falling away of people that profess to be Christians. And then it says this, look at the Amplified. In the King James, it says the man of sin. But if you study the word sin in this verse, it is actually the word lawlessness. And so notice it says this, and the man of lawlessness and sin is revealed. So the Antichrist is given a different name in this scripture. He's called the son of perdition, but he's also called the what? Man of lawlessness. So what is the spirit of Antichrist? And what does the spirit of Antichrist do? The spirit of Antichrist promotes a lawlessness that brings destruction to the people. Here is, are you ready? The number one problem that America is facing right here today, it is part of why we see political assassinations, crime on the rise, all of these things that are going on. Number one, America is literally suffocating under a spirit of lawlessness. America is suffocating under a spirit of lawlessness. Notice I didn't say the church is suffocating. I didn't say that you're suffocating. I'm saying our nation and the worldly side of it is absolutely suffocating under a spirit of lawlessness. Number one, say, well, Pastor, what are you talking about? The spirit of Antichrist has gotten into our nation. And all of a sudden, we have seen a tidal wave and an increase of lawlessness, crime on the rise, all these things that are taking place. And you might be asking, Pastor, when and where did that happen? Because something has seemed to change in our nation that is so different than it was just even a few years ago. Well, here I am going to answer that for you today. Now, before I start getting specific, let me say this. Every society has a measure of lawlessness in some form or fashion. Today, I'm going to give you examples that we've seen in this nation in the recent past that describe why it's on the rise. But all societies, we've had different levels of lawlessness in our nation at different times. We've seen ebbs and flows, you know, times where it would spike and then times when it would diminish. But all of a sudden, in recent history, we have seen a mass hyper jump into lawlessness. Have you seen it? Have you noticed it? Yes, it is taking place, and we're going to tell you why, but we're also going to tell you where and when. I'm not here to put blame on the feet, you know, of an individual. This is not personal, and let me stress this again. This is not political. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not trying to please one side and put down another. I'm just going to tell you the truth. I can tell you exactly when and where America took a hyper jump into lawlessness. All right? It began in 2008 when this nation, out of fear of a financial crisis, elected Barack Obama as the 44th president of the United States. I am not going after him politically. I'm not talking about his ethnicity. Has nothing to do with his ethnicity. Has nothing to do with his political party. Has nothing to do with him even personally. But the fact of the matter is, his agenda was demonically inspired, and his agenda is still working in this nation, and it has hurt this nation immeasurably, and it's time for the church to understand what it is, why it's happening, and how to deal with it. Oh boy, I can already feel. Say, well, Pastor, I voted for him. A lot of good people voted for him. I'm not here to blame you for that. You know, there was many in the Christian church that warned about his plans to fundamentally change America. He made a promise on the night before his election that he would fundamentally change America, and he did. And I'm going to tell you where and how, and I'm going to give you some examples. When President Obama took office, what people don't realize, you know, where he came from, and I'm not here to talk about a birth certificate and all that nonsense. I'm here to talk about the spiritual side of things. If we'll fellowship with God and fellowship with his word, we will know and be able to understand what's going on. And you say, well, you're going after a Democrat, you know, are you going to go after President Trump? I would be the first to warn you about anyone. If the spirit of Antichrist is on them, I'm not here to say that Barack Obama is the Antichrist. He's not. But the spirit of Antichrist was on him. The spirit of lawlessness is upon him. And he has wrought great damage to this country, whether he was in office or not. In 2008, what we don't realize when we elected President Barack Obama into office is that he came out of a background. He is a constitutional scholar. He is a man who studied the Constitution of the United States. He became a constitutional scholar and lawyer. He was a professor of the Constitution. And you say, my goodness. Well, man, someone who knows that about the Constitution, he must love our Constitution. No, in his own words, in his own memoir, you can read it for yourself. It's a book that he wrote called The Dreams of My Father. He admitted that he learned everything he could about the Constitution of the United States so he could dismantle it. That's absolutely a fact. Those are his words, not mine. And so when somebody, you know, gets into the presidency, what would they do if you want to fundamentally change our nation? Well, you would do exactly what he did. President Obama got into office, and what he started to do is he started to appoint political activists as federal judges. If you know and understand our Constitution, and President Obama is a brilliant human being, he is very smart. He knew exactly what he was doing. He appointed hundreds and hundreds. See, the President of the United States doesn't just appoint Supreme Court justices. They appoint hundreds of federal judges within the federal court system. And he did something that no president before him ever did, is that he picked and appointed political activists to be judges. Meaning he chose people based on their political activism, not their credentials on the bench. And when he did that, he went out and he sought to radicalize the federal judiciary. He sought to radicalize his political party. I'm sorry, the Democrat Party is nothing what it used to be. It has embraced, it has been hijacked by everything that is against God. You say, well, Pastor, you're going after the Democrats. No, I'm not. I'm here to tell you that their doctrine and their platform, there's not one thing righteous in it. It is evil. It is absolutely against the unborn. It is against God's definition of marriage. It is against just about everything that God stands for. And boy, it sure is quiet in here today. Say, Pastor, we pack the churches and you know, we want to, you know, just be encouraged. No, you need to understand, because I am going to tell you what we do with this. Because the church has got to wake up to this stuff. And it is exactly somebody like Charlie Kirk who is blowing the top wide open on stuff like this to try to bring light to the church so we don't misunderstand. All of a sudden, if the church is voting for the spirit of Antichrist in our nation, the church is going to be held responsible. And yet so many Christians are so dim and dull, they don't even know what the spirit of Antichrist even is. But yet they're putting it in office all over the place. The church is going to have to take some accountability, some responsibility. And so he went out and he started to appoint activist federal judges by the hundreds. He radicalized the federal judiciary. Have you wondered where these laws came from? What do you think opened our borders wide? How did our border just stay wide open? In millions and millions of people that came in, and of course we have compassion on those that are suffering. But also, unfortunately, with them came tens of thousands of violent, hardened criminals who are now perpetrating murder and crime all over our nation. How did our nation just let those borders wide open? And any time they would try to be closed, a federal judge would step in and keep it open. How did that happen? Activist judges. Why in 2020 did we watch the cities of our nation burn from the riots and there was no accountability? There was nobody out arresting these people. There was no accountability for those riots and that destruction. Why? Because federal judges stopped it. Why did that happen? Why have we seen a rise in all of a sudden this legislation called bail and bond reform? Have you heard of bail and bond reform? Criminals now are going in, violent criminals, and they're being released the same day without bail, without bond. I know a young man who was murdered on the streets of Jamestown because a man who was guilty of committing dealing drugs, and he had a stash. It was the largest drug bust in Jamestown history. And this man I knew, this wonderful young man, this wonderful guy, his name was Jesus. And I told him, I said, I like your name, Jesus. I like your name. He was a precious young man. He had a young daughter. He was working hard to try to help his kid to, you know, have a better life. And he was turning some things around in his life. And some friends of mine, had gotten a hold of me and said, hey, this young man, he's trying to, you know, get his feet back under him. He's trying to, you know, turn things around in his life. He's done a great job. And he's really talented at cleaning and detailing cars. And they said, hey, do you think a bunch of us could get together and give him some work? I said, oh, absolutely. He can detail my car. That would be great. And so I met Jesus, talked to Jesus. Wonderful young man, you know. He just wanted to get some things right in his life. And he even FaceTimed me the night before. He was waxing my car and cleaning it up. And he was like, Do you like this? And I'm like, Jesus, that looks good. You know, I'm just talking to him. You know, he was so happy. He was so thrilled. And of course, through a friend group, you know, he got paid a lot of money for doing, you know, detailing all these cars. The next morning, he was gunned down. He was shot 9 times on Prendergast Avenue because the hardened murder criminal that they knew already had a record was released right here in Jamestown because New York State is a no bail, no bond state. That is why my friend is dead. That is why lawlessness, where does that come from? It comes from judges. It comes from political activist judges. And it started when this nation got afraid in 2008. How many of you remember the financial crisis of 2008 that started to happen right before the election that year? How many of you remember that? Remember all the housing market crashed and the stock market, you know, had a small crash and all this stuff went down. And it happened right before the election. And America got afraid of losing money. And so America voted a man in who promised to fundamentally change America. And he did so by appointing federal activist judges who are now making, you know, wreaking havoc, allowing all this stuff to go on. Like I said, why did the cities burn? Because judges allowed it. Why do we have open borders? And thank God they're now closed. Federal judges. Where did no bail and no bond reforms come from? Judges. Why have we decriminalized drugs in our nation? We thought, oh, it's fine. Just decriminalize pot. Let everyone smoke marijuana. Now everywhere you go, you smell the stink of dope in the air. And it is a smell of lawlessness. And because when you start allowing people to commit minor crimes, guess what? Everyone now has graduated into meth. They've graduated into fentanyl. They've graduated into hardcore drug. Why? Lawlessness. Open borders, lawlessness. Where do you think transgender rights came from? Pastor, you're going scorched earth. Transgenderism is evil. I'm not going after somebody personally. And the good news is that if somebody is lost in their sins, such as transgenderism, I've got good news. I know a Savior that can wash you of that sin and bring you up and out. There's good news. You don't have to be lost. But folks, if I don't tell you what the Bible says is a sin or not, then I would be worthless. And if the Christian church can't stand up in America and say, this is wrong. And now why are we seeing men, biological men, competing in women's sports because of federal judges? Why are we seeing men in women's bathrooms? Why have some little kids been molested in these bathrooms? Those men should have never been in there. Why? Why is there nothing? Even our own Supreme Court just the other day, you know, turned down the opportunity to make it the law of the land that a man cannot use a woman's bathroom. Men should stay out of women's sports. Why, you know, I mean, here, you know, all these people that try to champion women's rights are now allowing, they're the same people that are allowing men to take away a woman's ability to compete in sports fairly. Why is that going on in our nation? I didn't grow up with that, did you?
No.
That wasn't happening in the 80s. That didn't happen under Ronald Reagan. That didn't happen under George Bush. That didn't happen under Bill Clinton. That didn't happen under second George Bush. Why all of a sudden all this runaway evil? I'm telling you why. You know, the Spirit of God said to me at the end of Obama's second term, the Spirit of God said something to me, and I had to check it with other minister friends of mine. And the Lord, you know, spoke to me and said about President Obama, said, he's not done. He's not done. And I thought to myself, oh, okay, I've got to really check that with others. You know, he's not done, meaning I knew the Lord was saying he's going to be very active even after he's out of the presidency. Well, then Reverend Greer, somebody that I didn't, you know that he had said the things that he had said. He didn't know what I had said or heard from the Lord. Reverend Greer, prophesied that President Obama would be more dangerous outside of the presidency than he would be inside the presidency. Folks, you say, Pastor, what is this all about? I'm just telling you the truth of where this came from in our nation. And now I need to tell you what we're going to do about it. The scripture makes it very clear. Jesus said this to the church. He said, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose or allow on earth will be allowed in heaven. It is time for God's people peacefully and faithfully to stand in prayer, stand in agreement, and say, in Jesus' name, we refuse this spirit of lawlessness to reign in our nation anymore. God's people need to stand up and they need to, you know, get into prayer. They need to get into their local church. We need to stand in these times of worship together and say, Father God, in Jesus' mighty name, we take the authority that you've granted us through the word of God. In Jesus' name, we condemn the spirit of lawlessness. We pray for those that are elected officials, those that are federal judges or state judges, that they would actually minister justice instead of their own political activism. We need to pray that God would peacefully remove these individuals from our court system, because if the church does not get to praying on this, we're just going to have more of the same. Say, well, Pastor, you know, a lot of, you know, conservatives and Christians, they believe, well, Trump is in there. Trump's going to fix everything. Well, he's made a lot better choices as far as the federal court system than his predecessors. But I'm here to tell you, Trump alone, there's no president that can fix this issue. The light of America is the church. And if the church in America has grown dim, we're not going to be able to change anything. I know some of you are shell-shocked. You're shell-shocked. Say, Pastor, I wanted to come into church, and I wanted a Hallmark card, and I wanted it easy, and I wanted it fun. But I had to tell you what's going on, because if we don't know what's going on, if we don't understand the spirit of lawlessness in this nation, we're not going to do anything to change it. Are you here today? Say, Pastor, this is so uncomfortable. Believe me, you should be me. Say, if you're here and you're thinking, well, man, you know, this guy must be a real jerk to hang out with or whatever. Well, please know that I don't preach, you know, what I want. I preach what God wants. And this is exactly what's going on. The spirit of lawlessness has always been in this nation to a degree, but it took a hyper jump forward. It started in 2008 when all of these programs and all of these policies started to come online, and now our nation has got a big problem. The church's assignment is to pray for law and order. If you're looking for some good scriptures about law and order, Romans chapter 13, you don't need to turn over there. But the Bible says that our government officials are God's ministers to execute justice upon the land. We need to pray for those that are in office. We need to pray for these judges. Pray. Folks, we need to pray right here in church that they would actually stand forward and that these judges would just hold people accountable to the laws that are written on the books. But they're letting them go. All of a sudden, you know, we've decriminalized drugs and there's no sentence, there's no bail, there's no bond. Violent criminals are just let out. It's lawlessness. Oh, are you here? And I needed to show you where lawlessness truly comes from. It comes from what the Bible calls the spirit of Antichrist. The devil is actively trying to destroy this nation and to bring the light of the church down. Oh, boy. Boy, I'm feeling popular today. Glory to God. Here's the second thing. I'm just going to mention these. Actually, you know what? I've already said the second thing, and so we'll move on. Number one, I said America is suffocating under a spirit of lawlessness. Two, the church has lost its salt. Can you bring up Matthew 5:13 real quickly? Oh, boy. I'll tell you what, the folks in Erie, they received this with joy last night. Said, did they? Yeah, they actually did. Praise the Lord. Can you bring up Matthew 5:13? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus speaking, he says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt, do we have any salt of the earth here today? Yes. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor or its taste or its saltiness, wherewith shall it be salted? Notice God says, I want the earth to be salted. And you are the salt of the earth. Now, salt is given, it is put on a food to change the perception of how it tastes. Have you ever had taste, maybe some kind of food? For me, I don't know what it is. I can't stand bland mashed potatoes. You ever had bland mashed potatoes? And then you just scoop up the salt. Boy, I tell you what, enough salt fixes everything. You know, salt and lots of it. Salt, salt, salt. And all of a sudden, you had a perception that that food was kind of gross. But then all of a sudden, that salt changes the perception that it's now kind of good. You know, in the same way, the church, born-again believers, are the salt of the earth. We are to change the perceptions of people on this earth so that they move towards Christianity. They move towards the kingdom of God. We can change their perceptions and bring them into salvation in Jesus Christ. Amen. But the scripture says, if salt has lost its saltiness, it is therefore good for nothing. It is cast out and trodden underfoot of men. This is what's happening to the church in America. We're being rejected. We've lost our saltiness. We're all of a sudden, we're more interested in sports than we are in God. We're more interested in what our kids are doing. We're more interested in all this other stuff than what God is doing. Oh, are you here? We're more interested in our business. We're more interested in money. We're more interested in social media. And now all of a sudden the church is losing its saltiness. All of a sudden people aren't there. How come it has to take a person being shot before the churches are full? How come all of a sudden someone has to get shot before Christians say, you know what, I should be faithful to God? It was sad that someone gave his life at a political rally at a, you know, university in Utah. But I'll tell you what, there's someone that hung on a cross. There's someone that was crucified 2,000 years ago, and he rose again to give us life, to give us power, to give us strength, to give us victory. And I'll tell you what, I know, but why does it take an assassination for all of a sudden to make us a little bit more salty? Isn't the resurrection of Jesus Christ enough? Isn't the life of Christ enough to make us be in church on a regular basis? To draw us to put down social media and pick up the Bible? To forgive those around us? You say, Pastor, I don't know. It sounds like you've got an unforgiveness problem with a former president. No, I don't. Nope. I don't have a forgiveness problem with a political party. I'm just telling you the truth. And if it would have been a Republican, I'll tell you that too. You know, it has nothing to do with what party they're in. It has nothing to do about their ethnicity. It has everything to do with their agenda and how they went about it. And why all of a sudden now we have in these last, you know, what, 17 years, this just influx of lawlessness. I'm telling you, that's where it came from. And all of a sudden now the church, because, no, can you bring up again 2 Thessalonians 2:3? Bring this up in the Amplified. Remember this verse that we were just at? We're going to wrap this up right here, kind of, in a minute or so, a few minutes. All right, 5 or 10 minutes or whatever it is. I mean, close to that, something like that. Remember what the scripture said? Let no one deceive or beguile you in any way, for that day of the Lord will not come except the apostasy comes first, unless the predicted great falling away of those who have professed to be Christians has come, and the man of lawlessness or sin is revealed. Notice the Antichrist is only revealed because the church first fell away. Folks, who is it that's going to keep that hindrance in place? Who is it that is designed to keep evil down? It's us, it's the church. We saw over there in Psalm 11, if the church would fill God's temple, if people would fill God's meeting place, if we would put our trust, he will start to deal with these evils in our land. If we would pray together, if we'd use our authority in Jesus' name, if we would stand, you can just be right there in your prayer closet and you can say, in Jesus' name, Satan, take your hands off my nation. Satan, I come against that spirit of lawlessness in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray for every politician and judge that they would serve justice in our land. Amen. God will hear that. God will move. Amen. Don't be part of the falling away. Be part of the rising up. Amen. Glory to God. But notice this. You see that in that scripture? The church falls away and lawlessness rises. Part, if not the majority reason, of why lawlessness has been allowed to reign in our land is that the church has grown dim. Not every church. I'm not talking about individual local churches. I'm talking about the church in general in our nation has gotten very dim. All of a sudden the church, has become an entertainment center. All of a sudden it's become about, you know, who can release music albums. All of a sudden the church has become about, you know, who can get more money, who can write a best-selling book. All of a sudden, and I'll be honest with you, I'm just going to be straightforward. This is a full gospel Pentecostal church. I believe in the salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. I believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I believe in speaking in tongues. I believe in a miracle-working God. I believe in laying hands on the sick and the sick shall recover. I believe that our God is powerful and he's active and he wants to be strong in our lives. But unfortunately, in the charismatic movement, we have no solid national leadership. I'm just going to say it for what it is. You know, in times like this, when the nation is shaking, I would love to, you know, turn to a national leader. You know, we need a Billy Graham type again. You know, we need a Kenneth Hagin type again. Because those that have the biggest ministries and the biggest TV outreach, I tell you what, I wouldn't wish their doctrine on a dog. It's embarrassing. They talk more about the size of their houses. They talk more about the prices of their jets. They talk more about all the luxury items that they have. They talk about all this stuff. And yet I don't hear one salvation call out of their ministry. Not one. All of a sudden it's about faith. It's about getting money. Get all the money you want. Get all the money. Those people don't realize they've lost the anointing. They've become fake and false. But thank God for the grassroots local churches. Thank God for them. I'll tell you what, this nation needs spiritual leadership on a national level like never before. There was somebody who was on the rise towards that, and they shot him. The church has lost its salt. Get back to your purpose. If salt has lost its saltiness, it has lost its purpose. Your purpose in this life isn't to chase a paycheck. Your purpose in this life is not to chase your hobbies. Those things are fine and they're good, but please don't misunderstand. Your purpose on this earth is to serve God. Your purpose on this earth is to give God his day every week. Your purpose is to renew your mind in his word every week. Your purpose is to pray and to fellowship with your heavenly Father. Your purpose is to pray his plan down on this earth. He said, my church will be a house of prayer. But he told the Pharisees, you've made it the den of thieves. That's right. Well, I'm here to tell you that unfortunately, some of the most well-known ministries on this, you know, earth and in this nation, I'll tell you what, they're the den of thieves. And Jesus, if he was physically on the earth, he would walk into those places, he'd tear up their tables. Boy, oh boy. Now we're going to end right here. The third and final thing that you need to see and know and understand. Go to Revelation chapter 11. Hallelujah. This is it. Wrapping it up. Final verse. Revelation 11:3. Here's the third thing that you need to know about America. Not only, number one, are we suffocating under a spirit of lawlessness. Two, the church has grown dim. But the good news is we don't have to stay dim. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you what, there's going to be pockets of revival. And I tell you what, this event right here is shaking up the body of Christ. I'll tell you what, it stirred me up. As soon as I heard that that man was dead, I heard out, you know, when I got the initial news, I just heard he was shot. You know, and when I heard that he was dead, And I realized it wasn't just an attack on an individual. It was an attack on all that we hold sacred and dear. And I just thought to myself, if they're going to hate what I love, I'm going to love it even more. If they're going to hate what I love, I'm going to love it even more. Glory to God. If they're going to hate me praying, I'm going to pray even more. If they hate me reading my Bible, I'm going to read it even more. If they hate me going to church, I'm going to go even more. The last thing that the spirit of Antichrist wants you to do is to get knowledgeable with this thing. Revelation 11:3, here's the final point. Prophetic events are now casting their shadow upon our nation. Revelation 11:3 is a time yet in the future called the Great Tribulation. During the Great Tribulation, God will raise up two witnesses who will speak with his message boldly for 3.5 years. And now we pick it up in verse 3, God speaking. He says, I will give power unto my two witnesses. They will prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. That's 3.5 years. And they will prophesy. They will speak prophetically. They will speak with the power of God. And it says in verse 4, it says, and these are the two olive trees. That's a prophecy from the Old Testament. These are the two olive trees. I believe it was Zechariah that prophesied about the two olive trees. It says, and these are the two candlesticks standing in front of the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt these witnesses or desires to hurt them, fire proceeds out of their mouth. And that fire will devour their enemies. And if any man will hurt these two witnesses, that person will die in the same manner, or he must in this manner be killed. Meaning, in whatever way that somebody tries to kill these two witnesses of God, they will die the very way they attempted to kill those witnesses. So look at verse 6. It says, and these witnesses have power to shut up heaven. If you're wondering who these witnesses are, this verse is telling you exactly who they are. It says, they have the power to shut up heaven, that it will rain not in the days of their prophecy. It will not rain for 3.5 years. There's someone in the Bible that did that before. His name is Elijah. And they will have power over the waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with all plagues. Who is the one in the Bible that did that? Moses. Well, did Moses and Elijah ever work together before? Yes. They showed up on the Mount of Transfiguration. Remember when they appeared to Jesus? Remember when John, James, and Peter all of a sudden woke up and they saw Jesus standing with Elijah and Moses? How many of you remember that? And Peter was so shocked. Of course, he said something dumb. He said, oh, Lord, let us build 3 tabernacles. Remember that? And Jesus, Elijah, and Moses probably looked over at him and looked at each other like, this guy. Yeah, I don't know. I can really relate to Peter in his life. This guy, you know. Elijah and Moses are prophesied that they will be there in the tribulation. They will preach with such power that anyone that resists their message will be devoured. But look what happens. Verse 7. And when they, Elijah and Moses, shall have finished their testimony, the beast, that's the Antichrist, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit, the Antichrist, shall make war against these two witnesses and shall overcome them and kill them. Ooh. Verse 8. But notice they were invincible as long as they were fulfilling God's plan. And it says, and their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom in Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. What city was that? Jerusalem. Isn't it interesting that a city could have a different name in the spirit? Spiritually, it was called Sodom in Egypt because that's how they acted. God will name you based on your actions, not on what you wish you were named. Anyway, God knows you by what you do. He names you. He describes you. Now, finally, look at this. And they of the people and the kindreds and the tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3.5 days and will not allow their dead bodies to be put in graves. They say, don't bury them, because that was an ultimate insult to the Jews. And in verse 10 it says, and they that dwell on the earth shall what? Rejoice over the dead witnesses. They will make merry. That means they'll party. They'll send gifts one to another because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. Their message tormented people on the inside because those people knew that they were against the plan of God. Charlie Kirk's message did the same exact thing. It tormented people that disagreed with him. They could not stand it. And so they did to him what happens to these witnesses in the future. I don't know about you, but I have seen over these last few days, there's been media pundits, YouTube influencers, people that were celebrating the death of Charlie Kirk. Has anyone else seen that? People rejoicing. Folks, all of that is just a shadow of something that is coming in the future. The world is moving more and more down this spirit of lawlessness that people will actually rejoice when someone they disagree with gets murdered. The events of the book of Revelation are casting their shadow already right now. Folks, I've got good news. You don't have to be tormented by the word of God. You can receive God's word, and it doesn't make you be tormented. It is tormenting to hear God's word and not give yourself to it. You know you're doing wrong. There's people that are watching on live stream, maybe people that are even, you know, sitting here today, that you're tormented because you know you're not serving God like the way you should. It eats at you all the time. I was one of those people. Is there anyone else that was ever one of those people sometime in your life where it just tormented you? You just knew you needed to follow the Lord, and yet you just kept on resisting. Well, take it from me and from others that have just decided, you know what? Just jump in. Jump in with God. It's way better than to live a tormented life. Yes, even if you have to face issues in your life, even if you have to deal with relationships, even if you have to deal with addictions or things in your life that are holding you back, it's worth it. Yeah. Amen. Don't be tormented by the word of God. Rejoice that you know the word of God. Yeah. Folks, fill the house of the Lord. Make sure you stay salty. Yes. Get salty. What does that mean? If your church has a need, serve in the church. Be a giver. Be in church. Attend church. You know, in the weeks to come here, we're going to open up our Wednesday nights again. Be there. Let people see that the things of God are more valuable to you than anything else. You want to know what to do? Turn on the lights. Turn on the lights. Get into the house of God. Start rejoicing. Start praising. Start worshiping. Start serving. Start forgiving others. Start winning souls. Tell somebody about Jesus and bring them into the kingdom of God. And let me just end with this. If you're here today and you're upset with things that you perceive as being a political statement, just so you know, I have no politics. Of course, I go and I vote just like anybody else. I don't rally behind any political party. I'll tell you what, I've had people leave this church because I didn't say something just right about President Trump. You know, when he lost the election of 2020 and when we knew that Joe Biden was going to take the platform on Inauguration Day, I stood up in late November of that year and I delivered the word of the Lord. And I said that on that day, it will be Joe Biden. And the church's responsibility is not to get the political preference, but to pray for whoever sits in that office. Whether I'll tell you what, I prayed more for Barack Obama than any other president. I will hands down confess, I prayed way more for him than I find myself praying for Donald Trump. I should be praying more for Donald Trump. I prayed for Barack Obama every day of my life. I never forgot. We would hold prayer meetings in our church, and we would just pray for him. Yes, that's right. Because he needed to turn from that spirit of Antichrist that was driving him to fundamentally change our nation. And so don't you think, and I had people, because I prophesied that you know, Joe Biden would take the oath of office in January of 2021. There was people, there was men that got up, left this church because they thought, oh, you should have said, you should prophesy like everyone else is prophesying that Trump was going to, you know, take that oath of office. No, that's not what the Spirit of God was saying. Listen, we'll tell you the truth, even if you like it or not, right? Because what? The truth will make you free. Glory to God. That's the message. I'm sticking to it. Let's pray. Father God, we love you and praise you. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your anointing. I thank you for your help. I thank you for your courage. I thank you not just for the ability to deliver this message, but Father, I thank you for those that would hear it. Father, we're not here to lay blame. We're not here to point fingers. We're here to just tell the truth. Because, Father, we know and understand that the church needs to start praying and the church needs to cry out for those in political office, for those that are in the judiciary, to uphold the law, to serve as ministers of justice. And, Father God, right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, with this church in agreement, as more than two touching on this earth, we take authority over the spirit of lawlessness in our land. In Jesus' name, we break that spirit. In Jesus' name, we bind that spirit. In Jesus' name, Father, we loose law and order that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. We take our place and we say, we do not permit lawlessness to rule our land anymore. Father, we know there's lots of problems in all political parties. But we see how the spirit of Antichrist has brought lawlessness into this land. And Father, we stand in Jesus' name. We fill your house. We rejoice in your presence. We gather in your name. And Father, as we do our part, we trust you. You will deal with these wicked situations. You will heal our land. I believe it. Father, we believe it. Church, do you believe it? Thank you, Lord God. With all eyes closed, every head bowed, before we're dismissed, have you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? Here's the truth. God sent his son 2,000 years ago. Jesus Christ came to this earth in the physical flesh. He lived a perfect life that we could not live. He was crucified on a Roman cross. He took the punishment that you and I deserved. His blood was shed as the sacrifice that would give us salvation. And the Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Listen, here's the truth. Hell is a real place. But I've got good news. Heaven is a real place. God doesn't want you to go to hell. He's done everything he can to try to make sure you don't end up there. And the only way that someone ends up there is that they fail to confess that Christ is their Lord and Savior. They fail to hand their lives over to him. Listen, God loves you. He's not mad at you. And I know when things are spoken boldly like they were spoken today, sometimes people, they mistake that as anger. It's not anger. It's just bold truth. God loves you. He's not mad at you. He's not mad at your personal decisions. He's not mad at your political decisions. He's not mad at you. He's given Jesus for you. And he wants to tell you there's a better way. If you're here today and you've never made Jesus your Lord, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to call you down front. I'm not going to walk up to you. I'm not going to send anybody else up to you. But if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I need to do what that scripture says to do. I need to confess and declare that Jesus is my Lord. I need to receive him in my heart. I want eternal life. If that's you, all I'm going to do is ask you to take one small step towards God and lift your hand for 1 second. And when I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down. If that's you, can you lift your hand now, please? I see that hand, and that hand. You can put them down. God loves you. God loves you. Is there anybody else that you haven't responded yet? There were several hands that all just went up at once. Four that I saw. Is there anyone else who would say, Pastor, that's me. I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior. If that's you, could you please lift your hand? If you haven't responded, God's not mad at you. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I admit, I've lost my saltiness. I've lost my purpose in this life. I've fallen away from the things of the Lord, and I need to get back. If today you need to rededicate your life to him, could you lift your hand now? Is there anyone that would say, I need to rededicate? I see that hand and that hand and that hand and that one. Anybody else that would say, Pastor, I need to rededicate my life? Several hands. Let's do it. How do you dedicate your life to the Lord? Make a choice. Make a choice. I remember when I made a choice. It was January the 11th of 2002. I made a choice and I told God, I said, I'm going over a line and I'm not coming back. I never went back to my old life. You can do the same. Watch what God will do in your life. If you lifted your hand, we're all going to pray this prayer. Pray this prayer. Speak these words out of your mouth. Don't just think them in your mind. Pray, speak, believe, mean it from your heart, and God will hear you. Let's all go ahead and let's pray this prayer together. Everyone pray with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. Today I make a decision to obey Jesus Christ, to obey God's word, and to live for him in Jesus' name. Amen. Did you get some help here today? Let's go ahead, let's stand to our feet. And again, if you are visiting, you picked a humdinger of a service to try, right? To all those that you just made Jesus your Lord and Savior, please know today is not the end. Today is the beginning of a new life. Come back and get taught. Of course, this message is very different, you know, and very unique. But sometimes things need to be said, and we are willing to say them. Let's just rejoice. We'd just love to see everybody back again. Let's just give God the glory. Father, we praise you. Father, we say your blessing is upon each one here today. Father, you are glorious, you are wonderful, you are worthy of praise. Father, we all together, we give you all the praise, all the glory, in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen, you are dismissed.